Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share in your word. And as we approach your scripture this morning, we thank you as always for the ever-present Holy Spirit. He is indeed the teacher of the church. And I pray that today he would not only anoint my lips to speak accurately and clearly, but that he would also anoint each ear to hear and each heart to receive what you have for us corporately and individually. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you would, open your Bibles with me today to Acts chapter 20. I'm not going to be able to finish all of this, but at least we'll have a good start on it. And there's some things we just want to share from the Word. And hopefully, it'll make an impact on you and enrich your life. And we'll begin with Acts chapter 20. Now, here's the setting. Paul the Apostle has gathered the elders together from Ephesus, and he says something to them, and he knows that this may be the last opportunity that he has to minister to these leaders in the early church. And we want to focus in on some of the things that he shared with them, because they also apply to us. And he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Now, you know, there's some words in there at times I like to break them down, make them easy to understand. The word sanctification does not mean what many people think it means. It's not some level of spirituality in Christ. Sanctification simply means that you've been set aside for a holy purpose. Separated, set apart for a holy purpose. Now, that happened to you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. When you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit separated you from the world system and set you apart for a holy purpose. God has a purpose for every life. Every person in Him has been designed for something magnificent. And so Paul said, "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace," or the message of His grace, which is able to do two things. Number one, build you up. And number two, give you an inheritance among them who've been separated, set apart for a holy purpose. And so this inheritance, the word inherit in the New Testament, paints a picture of somebody who has something that's been set aside just for them. And if you study the book of Ephesians, you'll find that all of us have been given an inheritance in Christ. In other words, there's something that's been set aside just for you, and it's so specific, it's as though it has your name on it. That means nobody else can function with that thing, only you can. Are you with me? Because it's your inheritance, it belongs to you. And so that's something that we have to keep in the back of our minds at all times. Now, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to build on this concept. Matthew chapter 16. And here Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it begins with a question. Matthew chapter 16. And we'll start with verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say you're John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' And he said to them, 'Well, who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Now, just a little side note here. The word Christ simply means the anointed one. Christ was not Jesus' last name. Are you with me? Christ means the anointed one. And notice Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven," or who is in heaven. "And I also say to you that you are Peter," or a rock, or a stone. "And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Now, many people have taken these passages and built a doctrine or teaching upon it that states something like this: Peter was the head of the church because Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Well, I beg to differ with that assertion. The church is not built upon the man named Peter. And we'll see this as we go along. Jesus was not saying, "I'm going to build my church on you." What he was saying was, the fact that you got information from God about who I am, that is what I'm going to build the church on. In other words, information that comes from God, not from men, or as we say, revelation. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but rather my Father who is in heaven." Now, follow along with me for a little bit. The key is revelation. Now, the word revelation does not mean something new. The word revelation simply means to uncover. Everybody say uncover. Now, we're going to have communion here at the end of the service, and the communion plate has a cover on it. Now, when I lift up the plate, it reveals cups filled with grape juice. Now, those cups filled with grape juice did not appear when I lifted the cover. They're not new. They've been sitting in that tray for hours. Are you with me? In fact, many times Greg and Margie come in and do their prep work the day before. And I'm sure that was the case yesterday. So these cups filled with grape juice did not appear when I lifted the lid. They've been there for about 24 hours sitting in the refrigerator. Are you with me? Now, you couldn't see them until I lifted the lid. In the same manner, what Jesus was saying was, "I'm going to reveal some things to you by the Holy Spirit, and by those things revealed, I'm going to build my church. And build my church to the degree that the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, do you remember that little exhortation I had about early about don't run from crazy people? Are you with me? Many people have interpreted some of these verses to mean that when hell unleashes an onslaught against us, that it won't be able to prevail. Well, there's some truth in that, but that's not what Jesus was talking about. Notice what he said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against the church." When's the last time you were attacked by gates? Gates never attacked anybody. Gates are connected to walls. Walls are designed to surround people and keep them inside. What Jesus was saying was that we'll unleash an onslaught against the kingdom of darkness, and the gates of hell will not be able to stop us from breaking them down. Are you with me? Just another perspective when you think about that verse. Now, let's go back and look at it again, then I'm going to build some more on this. Notice, the key is revelation. Matthew chapter 16, verse 17. "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you that you are a rock, and upon this rock," not Peter, but revelation, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now, let's continue to build upon this thought. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Has anybody seen the latest Ministry Minute? Okay, Margie did. My wife and I were at a wedding yesterday over on the west side of town, and somebody saw my ministry minute that I did out at Long Beach, Laguna Beach in California. And he said, "Excuse me, can I have a ministry minute?" So it's working. Social media gets out there. People see this stuff. Ephesians chapter 2. If you got it, say, "I got it." All right. Let me catch up to you. Now, let's begin at verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Paul the Apostle, by the Holy Spirit, writing to believers in Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey. He says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitly together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, notice that he says that we're not strangers or foreigners to the covenants of promise, but we're fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, and having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, you as a believer are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Not literally. If you ever have a chance to go to Europe and travel around the northern Mediterranean, especially Italy, France, Turkey, places like that, if you go into many of these old cathedrals, some of them are thousands of years old, you'll find altars that are built to commemorate the lives of certain saints, especially in Catholic churches. And they literally have these huge altars built where you can go and kneel, supposedly, to and pray to Saint so-and-so. And behind that altar, you'll find a crypt where his bones are there. Now, this is not what Paul the Apostle is talking about. What he's talking about is your life as a Christian, because you've been separated, set apart for a divine purpose. Your life is built upon what was revealed to these apostles and prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. And so your life is built upon what was revealed to them. Well, what was revealed to them is what we find written in the book. Amen? So they wrote down what God revealed to them so that you could build your life upon it. Now, here's something that I often say to people. It's important that you stay connected. Now, what does it mean to stay connected? You need to be a part of a body of believers. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." There's a reason for you to be connected to a local church. Because there are things that God has in store for you. There are things God has appointed to you that you will never get any other way. Now, remember when Jesus was asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, they had a response. Well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're Isaiah, some say you're Elijah. Well, guess what? They were all wrong. And then when Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." There are some things that you need that you will never get anyplace else, except the local church. Now, I am not preaching that everybody needs to be a member of MGCC. I realize that we're not everybody's flavor. You know what I mean? I realize that. We're not for everybody. But you need to have a local church where you stay connected, where you can receive the information that you need. I remember years ago when we were over on 12th Street. Y'all remember that? We had a woman visit. And I'd normally get there early. And I got there early and was doing whatever I was doing. And I noticed her. She sat in the last row in the back. And I could tell by her body language that she was scared. She was intimidated. And so she's looking around. She's very cautious. And she's sitting in the back row, which is only about 10 feet from the door. And so I took it upon myself to go and introduce myself to her. I said, "Hello, my name is Bill." I said, "What's your name?" She told me. I said, "How are you?" She said, "Scared." That's what she said. "How you doing?" She said, "I'm scared." I said, "Don't worry, it'll be all right. You'll be okay." Amen? One reason why we used to do that food thing, we still do it today. You know why we do that? It's not just so we can spend money on groceries. We can spend that money on other things. But I found that people would come and visit the church, and then as soon as I was done ministering, boom, they hit the back door like a bullet. Well, nothing wrong with that. At least they came. Hopefully they received something. But there's more that you need. And so the church is not just a place to get information. The church is a body of people. We need to have relationship with each other. Amen? We need to be able to help each other. That's how we build and grow. And so we started offering refreshments next door. And I tell you what, you want folks to stick? Feed them. It works. I remember my father-in-law, the late Reverend Fletcher Carr, had a ministry of feeding. He called them hobos. Well, they were guys who rode the rails, you know, got on the trains and would go from place to place. We call them homeless people now. But back then they called them hobos. And so they would come to the back door of his house for food. And he said, "Well, I thought God had given me a great opportunity, so I preached the gospel to them." And one day after I preached, one of the guys said, "You know, Reverend Carr, what you said was all good and everything." He said, "But we sure could listen better if we had something to eat." And so his wife started feeding them. Now think about this. They had 16 kids. And he's the only one working in the house. And they're feeding homeless people at the back door. And he said, "Because I made a decision to love those men and take care of those men, none of those men ever stole anything from me or ever hurt any of my kids." You know, that's what God will do when you make a commitment to do things His way. And so we are a spiritual house. And we're built upon the revelation that the apostles and prophets received. Now, we're going somewhere here. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll start with verse 2. If you got it, say, "I got it." Notice what he said. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere, pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And so here Peter reveals that we are indeed a spiritual temple. And then he said something in verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Spiritual growth comes by the Word of God. Spiritual growth does not come by age. I said something the other day in one of the ministry minutes. You know, Job and his three friends carried on a conversation about his situation. And you know all of them were wrong. Job was wrong. Eliphaz was wrong. All of them were wrong. A young man named Elihu stood up in chapter 32 and told the truth about what really happened. And Elihu said this, "Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." In other words, just because you've been on the planet for a number of years doesn't mean that you know what you're talking about. Now, I was raised in a culture in my family to respect my elders, and I still practice that principle to this day. But just because you are elder or an elder does not mean you necessarily know what you're talking about. Apart from the Word of God, the only thing that age does is make you old. Wisdom comes by God's Word. Wisdom comes by applying God's Word. Knowledge is the accumulation of information. Wisdom is the application of that information. But there are many people who have never taken the time to build their life on the Word. And so, here's what I liken it to. When you come to Jesus and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, your spirit is now a blank canvas. Now, my mother was an artist. She was a painter. And she was a pretty good painter. She had some of her artwork in exhibitions on college campuses. And she sold a lot of her artwork. Now, like most artists, some of her best work had never been seen. I would go to the house and visit my mom, and I'd go up in the room. I remember once she told me to go upstairs and get something out of her bedroom. And I went upstairs, and I couldn't find it, so I looked under the bed. You know what I found under the bed? Stacks of canvases. And so I pulled them out, and I'm looking at them, and these were incomplete works that she hadn't finished yet. And they were beautiful. And I take them downstairs. One of these days, I'm going to bring you guys in a video of some of my mother's artwork. Fabulous. And I pull these things out, and I took them down. Mother, this is beautiful. What? She said, I didn't like it. You know, and I said, what about this one? I thought I could have done better. You know, and I was just amazed at the work that she did. And so most of her artwork now is hanging in my sister's house. My mother went to be with the Lord back in 2011. And she was 81 years old. And so my sister, she got all of her art collection. So some of that is mine, but I'll get it from her later. But here's what I liken this principle to. When you come to Jesus, your spirit is a blank canvas. Now, the Word of God is the paint. The Holy Spirit is the brush. And God the Father is the artist. Remember Ephesians 2:10? Says, for you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And that word workmanship means something that is the result or the work of a master craftsman. And so what God desires to do in your life is to paint on the canvas of your spirit His purpose and plan for you. Now, when my mother made a painting, she would often decide what she wanted to paint. If it was a landscape, she did a lot of those. She would park wherever she could get a good view of what she was about to paint. Then she'd take a charcoal pencil and she would sketch an outline of what she wanted to do. And then she'd begin with the base and she'd paint all the way up. And then as she got towards the end of the painting, then she would take a fine paintbrush and begin to put in the fine details on whatever this piece of art was. She did a great job. But what happens with us many times is we're the blank canvas. We need to stay there long enough so that God the Father can take the Holy Spirit and use the Word of God to place on our spirit His masterpiece. Are you with me? Many people walk around like an unfinished painting. God's not finished yet. He's not done painting on your spirit His complete work in you. Are you with me? Some of y'all walking around, you're just a charcoal sketch. And nobody can really see what God's purpose is in you because you haven't allowed Him to finish the work. Now, here's one thing my mother would do. My mother would work on a painting for months. There were times she worked on a few pieces, and it took a year and a half, almost 2 years. And she would work on it a little bit every day. And then she'd go do something else. She had other things she had to do. But then she'd always come back to that canvas and that tripod, and she'd get to working on that thing. There were times I'd visit, and Mom had a painting done, I thought. And I'd say, Mom, that's beautiful. I said, how long have you been working on that one? She said, I'm not finished yet. She said, I've been working on this one for about a year and a half. She said, but I'm almost done. Probably take me another 4 or 5 months. But when she was finished, you could tell she put her heart into it, and it was a beautiful piece of art. What is my point? The milk of the word causes growth. But you've got to position yourself so God can get enough word in you so that you can not only sustain yourself and live a victorious life, but rather so you can be a full expression of what God has planned for your life. Are you with me? Quit walking around as an unfinished piece of artwork. Nobody buys unfinished pieces of artwork. They don't look very good. Are you with me? Amen. All right. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll finish with this passage and we'll continue next week. Aren't you glad I don't preach for 3 hours? I got an amen on that one. Hey, that's why I'm doing ministry minutes. Ministry minutes are 60 seconds long. You know why I keep them short to 60 seconds? Because most people don't have the attention span. I have a good friend. I've shared this before. Good pastor friend of mine in Cool Valley, Missouri. And he's a pastor. I love him with all my heart. This man preaches every day on Facebook for over an hour. I'm not going to criticize him. Thank God he's preaching the gospel. But I think if you look at his Facebook page, he's preaching or teaching Preparing for the End Times, part 23. It's a long series. So he's taught 23 hours on getting ready for Jesus to come back. Hats off to him. I love him. I wouldn't dare tell him stop doing it. But if you look at his number of followers, it peaks in the first 3 minutes, then it drops. Because most people ain't going to hang with you for an hour. But they'll stick around for 3 minutes. And so I figured, and this is what the Lord told me to do, 60 seconds, anybody will watch something for 60 seconds. Are you with me? Now, the first series that I'm doing is the book of Job, one of the most misunderstood, misquoted books in all of the Bible. If you can understand that book in about 18 minutes, you've done better than most theologians who teach a course in seminary. I'm telling you the truth. That book sends theologians into a tailspin. They don't understand it. All you got to do is read the whole thing in the light of what happened in chapter 32. So, anyway, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Here's a verse of Scripture that I read every day. And it just reveals to us how important it is to stay in the Word of God. Remember, Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Any of you mothers, when you breastfed your children, when they were newborn babes, were you able to park them in a corner and just leave them alone for half the day? No. What happens after about 2 hours? They get hungry. And what do they do when they get hungry? They let you know. The alarm goes off. Ah! I'm hungry. And you better see to their needs. Well, we need to be that way with reference to the Word of God. We need to be hungry for the Word of God. Let me pause for a moment. For those of... What's that? Oh. Bless you. I thought we were having an electrical issue. For those of you watching by television, thanks for tuning in. You've been watching Faith is a Lifestyle, a production of Mount Gerizim Christian Center. We'd invite you to continue to connect with us. You can find us online at mgcconline.org. If you go to our resources tab and go to messages, you can find over 400 messages. And you can even sort by subject or speaker. Also, we invite you to join with us. We worship Sunday mornings at 10:30. And Wednesday evenings at 6:30 here at 9th and Cherry. And so thanks for tuning in. Until next time, keep putting your faith in God's Word. Okay, Proverbs chapter 4. This is the last verse we're going to look at today. You got it? Notice verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues or the forces of life. So there's a lot that's revealed here. This is where we'll pick up next week. But he simply gives us some good information. My son, attend to my words. That means you need to pay attention to what God said. Incline thine ear. That means perk up your ears to God's sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Because God's words are life to you and health, literally medicine, to all your flesh. This is the best prescription in the world. It's free. You can't overdose on it. And it always works. Amen? You know, there are times that doctors will give you medicine from a natural standpoint, and they'll try it for a while. If it doesn't work, they'll switch to something else. Why? It was ineffective. God's Word is always effective. His Word always works. It always brings healing. It always brings life. Amen? Hey, let's pray just for a moment, then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Father, thank you for this opportunity to study your Word. We honor you today and thank you for the truth that you've revealed and the method by which you revealed it. Thank you for letting us know that it's important that we stay connected to revelation, things that were revealed by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the life that you've given. Thank you for the health that Jesus purchased. And we honor you today and thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. All right, I'm going to ask our ushers to come, and we're going to have the Lord's Supper. Ow. Mm-hmm.